Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It is just so good to be back with you. God has been good. Can you just give him some praise? Just clap those hands, lift them up, put some emoticons in that chat box just to say, Lord, thank you. I just want to start off today just truly thanking you for all of your prayers for EBCNC.com, our virtual connection. I get so much feedback from different people from near and far. Just enjoying our podcast and also the way we do it so that we can focus on and lift up Jesus. So I just want to thank you and I ask you to please continue to pray for us. As always, we have so much that's going on at ebcnc.com. On our Mondays, we have Monday Manna, different teachings that come forth. Our Tuesday, noonday Bible study, where we're actually going through the book of Genesis, getting history so that we can understand the New Testament principles and how God works through times and prophecies. And then we're in Wednesday, we're actually at 7 o'clock. We're on our virtual connection and we're going through the book of Luke, where we're just celebrating the teachings of Christ. For those who love our in-person Bible study, that takes place on Thursdays at 6 o'clock, Thursdays at 6 o'clock, right in our sanctuary. We're going through the book of 1 Corinthians. And I'm telling you, our last Bible study, it was very challenging as we began to look at the scriptures and compare them to the present day church and how we can be better stewards. Also, I just thank you so much for your prayers for our in-person services. We have an 8:45 in-person service and a 10:45 in-person service, and also our 10 o'clock online. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for your giving. It's been a blessing to Ebenezer. We thank you again from near and far, those who are supporting the ministry. We have really held up giving from our heart. New Testament is powerful. It says that we shouldn't give grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So it is such a blessing to be able to give from our hearts, and I thank you for all that you have done. We've been able to reach out. We've got Feed the Hungry Ministry. We actually support one of the programs that I talked about on last Sunday in our in-person service was the Step Up program, where individuals actually have been incarcerated. They're coming out, and that program actually helps them to get clothes for interview. There was one touching interview of one of those that I actually sat in, and this person, he was like in his 30s, and he had never had a suit. He never wore a suit, but it was a blessing. It was almost tears in his eyes to go to that clothing closet, and he had somebody to assist him to get a tie and a suit so that he could go for an interview. So I thank you for helping us to stay connected to programs like that to bless people. Well, I'm thinking about the word today, and as you look at my hourglass, you know, all of us have a specific amount of time. And as that hourglass, that sand continues down, guess what? Our sand is continuing down when we compare to our lives also. And I don't want us to miss the moment as God is using us and he is really bringing forth the callings in our lives. So I want you to be in prayer. Get ready to receive a word from the Lord. At this time, let's just take a time of worship and focusing in on Jesus. We'll see you soon.
Good morning, George. Today, I'll be reading from Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, the King of glory, the Lord Almighty? He is the King of glory. Thank you.
Amen. You've been in the storm. Seems like forever. Nights of confusion. have been so long. Your ship has lost anchor, and the storm's got you drifting. Hold of Jesus, and you can ride out your storm. Ride out your storm. God's there with you. Oh, you may not feel him. Well, you're not alone. Oh, you're hurting now, but your morning is coming. Hold of Jesus, you can ride out your storm. Just remember his promise, I'll never leave you. Though the waters, they're raging, well, they'll do you no harm. Don't you give up your battle, for the answer, it is coming. Church, hold to Jesus, you can ride out your storm. Ride out your storm. God's there with you. You may not feel him. Well, you're not alone. Oh, you're hurting now, but your morning is coming. Yes, hold of Jesus, you can ride out your storm. You see, he's right there with you. You can ride out your storm. He'll never, never, never leave you. You can ride out your storm. He said, whatever is ailing you, you can ride out your storm. Ride out your storm. God's there with you. See, you may not feel him. Well, you're not alone. Oh, you're hurting now, but your morning is coming. Oh, hold of Jesus, you can ride out your storm. You see, he's right there with you. You can ride out your storm. He'll never, never leave you. You can ride out your storm.
So good to know that Jesus is with us in our storms. I am glad that the scriptures say that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And that gives me a whole bunch of peace. And I pray that it gives you peace also. Before we go any further, just going to ask you to go in a word of prayer with me. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this day again that you've made, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to connect in this moment. Lord, as I look at the world and I see the darkness that has come all over, Father, from near and far, Russia, Ukraine, Belgium, Lord, to Greensboro, North Carolina. Lord, we need a word from you. I pray for those that are viewing and listening right now, that if there's someone that's not saved, Lord, that you will touch them. That you'll help them to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised him from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a gift from you. Oh, that they receive that gift. Now, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Would you teach us today? Would you guide us? Would you lead us into all truth? Please make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. We give you praise, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we get back into this section of fulfilling our calling, as God is working in us and bringing all kinds of talents and skills that he is deposited with us, all of us have a calling on our life. And when we submit ourselves to the Lord, truly, we begin to see God work in amazing ways. I want to go back to that memory scripture of 1 Corinthians 6:19. We've been reading it aloud, and we're going to be going over this over, and we want to get it into our minds so it'll seep down into our spirit. So I ask you if you would read it aloud with me, that 1 Corinthians 6:19. It says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" Isn't that good news? We are not our own. Today's lesson, I want to go into 1 Samuel chapter 17, 1 Samuel chapter 17, and around that 34th verse. I want to build up to this because I want you to get the context. Remember on last Sunday, we were dealing with Saul, and he was rejected by God. Samuel is that prophet that said, you know what, you're choosing your own way. And so God has rejected you, and he's going to raise up someone better. And so our focus character today is going to be David. For many of you that are viewing and listening, and this is a very familiar story, but I want us to look at it with new eyes, fresh revelation, so that we can compare it to our lives as we look at that topic of fulfilling our calling. So let's look at this. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and 34, it reads, "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God.'" I want to speak from a title today, Preparation for the Call. Preparation for the Call. As we go through these scriptures, I really want you to think about how God has prepared you. In 1953, Randy Struggs and John Thompson came up with this powerful lyrics. It's a very short song, but it really encompasses about being prepared for God to use us. It goes, "Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you." That's what we're dealing with. As you remember that hourglass that we started off with today, we all have time that's ticking. It's coming, that sand is flowing, and God wants us to really carpe diem, to seize the day. God put this on my heart, and there's a lot of things that he just put on my heart, and I want to share with you today. He says, "Everything that you have been through has prepared you for this day." Isn't that good? He did. He put it strong on my heart. "Everything that you've been through has prepared you for this day." There ought to be some shouts of praise, because when we can embrace that, when we can understand that God has been preparing us for our call, and it's now, that moment, we're going to grasp that. Romans 8:28, which we quote a lot, it says, "And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." Therefore, when we submit ourselves to him and we're really embracing what God is doing in our lives, we realize even the good, the bad, the things we don't understand, God is using us to embrace again what he has for us. Our time frame again around 1000 BC, and we pick up this central character of David. Jonathan, you remember we dealt with Jonathan. That was Saul's son. Jonathan would never become the king simply because God had, in essence, literally at this point, anointed David. And so in this preparation, David was an unlikely king. Even when Samuel had given that rejection to Saul, and God directs him to Jesse's house, that's David's dad's house, there are a lot of other brothers that look like they would be kings. But David was actually tending to the sheep. And God was like, you know what, none of these that you see are the ones, but the one that I want to anoint for king, he's out in the field. And today we're actually going to deal with that further. Let's go ahead and jump into this section, 1 Samuel 17 and 32. It says, "Then David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine.'" Here's our first point, ready to be used. So getting to this point, David, Jesse's son, Jesse decided to send him to actually bring some food to his brothers that had been drafted to serve under King Saul. So King Saul's still leading. God has just rejected him as the sovereign leader, but he's out there fighting the enemy, the Philistines. And in this, David's brothers are there, and he takes food to his brothers. While he's there, there is an arch enemy. He is called Goliath. He is this huge giant of a man that's been trained from birth, literally, to be a warrior. And the Israelites are afraid. They are afraid. He's taunting them. The Philistines are excited because they realize that they have the victory of the battle. David sees what's going on, and he's like, hold up. Why aren't we? We are God's children. We are the children of Israel that God led fire by night and a cloud by day. Why are we fearful? And so now he goes to King Saul and in essence says, hey, we can do this. I'll do it. Our biggest battle is actually just being ready to be used by God. There ought to be some amens. Our biggest battle is just being prepared and ready when God says, okay, this is your day. This is your time. Author and motivational speaker Wayne Dyer, he said it like this: miracles come in moments. Be ready and willing. I think somebody needs to hear that again. Miracles come in moments. Be ready and willing. Are you ready for God to step forth in a miraculous way in your life? I'm talking about preparation for the call. Paul the Apostle writes of this in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in him, in them." And so this is important, because when we think about our lives, and even David, as we're going to really focus in on him, God had prepared him for this moment in the same way he is preparing us for the moments in our lives to be used. The disciple Timothy was encouraged in this 2 Timothy 4:1 by the Apostle Paul. He says, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." Here it is: preach the word. Be ready. Can you put in the chat ready? Wherever you're sitting at, just say ready, in season and out of season. Preparation for the call. Remember, I said that biggest challenge is really embracing and ready to be used of the Lord. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Are you ready to truly be used today? Can you put in the chat today? I'm going to work you today. Because I believe that so many times we're thinking about, okay, God, I know you're preparing me, but not for today. I'm getting prepared for next week, or I'm getting prepared for next year. Because in our mind and our matriculation process, we're always pushing things back off for the future. But we got to realize that God wants to move right now in our lives. I remember when I went into the military, the Air Force, and my dad had trained me well. He was a military man, Air Force specifically. My granddad was in the Army, so I had that background. And he had told me to do certain things, just lay low and, you know, just do what they tell you to do. So I was really prepared. But when I went into that basic training, something happened. I was chosen to be the dorm chief. Let me explain what the dorm chief, basically what the dorm chief has to do, he has to take responsibility for all the other guys. Yes, if anything goes wrong, it comes down on the dorm chief. And I was pushed in to this particular leadership position that I did not want. Now, I remembered so much stuff when I was in this situation about, you know, what my dad had done in my life and how he tried to train me. I remember one time when I got out from one of the our kitchen table and I left the chair out. My dad, he told me to push that chair in and out for like 100 times. And I was so upset with him. I was like, really, Dad? We had to go through this? And he said, this is for something for you in the future, a process. And can you believe that I actually had to use that same leadership ability when I got into basic training, because they were the same way with the chairs and they wanted you to push them up. And so God had already prepared me for that situation, and I was able to excel in that leadership position at that moment simply because God had already taken me through something. I'm telling you, some of you are going to be blessed by this. Look at 1 Samuel 17:33. And Saul said to David, "You're not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by the beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Here's the next point. Overcoming obstacles. Yes, overcoming obstacles. Our walk with the Lord should be so intense that at a moment's notice, we're ready. We're ready to be used because he has prepared us. That's the intensity. Peter writes about being ready in 1 Peter 5:8. He said, "Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Peter brings out this challenging point. The devil is ready. He is ready to pounce on. He is ready to steal, kill, and destroy. But 1 Peter 5:9 says, "Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." Now, let's look closely as we're thinking about overcoming obstacle. This 1 Samuel 17:33 again. And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth and he a man of war from his youth." In order to fulfill our calling, we really have to get past negative talk from others. Yes, I want you to think about that. So often the enemy can use other people to speak negativity in our lives. You got to get away from your haters. You got to get that out of your mind. You've got to step up and walk in faith as we're talking about fulfilling our calling. We've got to come to the point of putting our arms around Matthew 19:26. "But Jesus looked at them and said to them, 'With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.'" We've got to realize when we come in line with God's word, everything is possible with him. Why? Because he is the God of the universe. Lord, put this, I told you I was going to speak. He's been just speaking to my heart. He says, "God is using your past victories to prepare you for your greatest challenges." I want to read that again. "God is using your past victories to prepare you for your greatest challenges." So all those victories that you had in the past actually get you to this point of saying, "Man, God, you were preparing me for something even greater." And so I have to embrace how God has showed up and showed out. Any amens out there? Woodrow Crowe, he captures the scene. "Since David had rescued sheep from his father's flock with the help of God, he could see no difficulty in rescuing Israel, the sheep of God's flock, through the same trust in God." done. I'm telling you, some of you have some testimonies that you've forgotten about, and I pray that today be your day that I can stir up that thought pattern, that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart, and to think back all the tests that you went through to get your testimony. The fact that you are still alive is a testimony. The fact that you're still able to breathe and process on your own is a testimony of God's grace. If God did it in the past, He is sure to do it now. And so you can trust Him. When you grow closer to God, it makes you bold. Any amen? Can you put in the chat bold, wherever you're sitting at or standing at? Just say bold. It makes you bold. Proverbs 28:1 says, "The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion." Let's not forget this 1 Samuel 17:37 about that end part. And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." When we actually are coming to the point of saying, "Okay, God, use me for your service," it inspires other people. Yes, when they see our passionate lives for the Lord, they get inspired for that. It encourages them to want to walk more in faith. Look at King Saul. He's been rejected by God. But when he saw the faith of David saying, I can take this Philistine, he's like, go. Now you notice Saul doesn't jump out there and want to do it himself, but he is excited that somebody else is excited. Look at how this story continues on. The 1 Samuel 17:38. So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them." So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones. Can somebody put 5 in the chat? 5 smooth stones from the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. Here's the point. I want you to get this, because this is going to bless you. You have everything that you need. Yes, you have everything. Can you speak that to yourself right now? Say, "Self, I have everything that I need." Why? Because we have Christ on the inside of us via the Holy Spirit. King Saul wants to dress David in his armor. Yes, he has the fineness of the armor of the time just because he is the king. But he doesn't realize David is the anointed one, literally has been anointed by that prophet Samuel. But it wasn't his time to step up in that physical kingship, but it was his time to show the powerful hand of the Lord. Notice that 1 Samuel 17:39 and that second part. And David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them." So David took them out. It's in those basic provisions that God can use us so often. It doesn't have to be in elaborate things that are set up. Some of you can remember how God has used you in moments that you yourself weren't prepared in your own mind, but God had put you at the right place and the right time. Remember when Jesus actually used this same principle with his disciples in Luke 10:3. He says, "Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag or knapsack nor sandals, or greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house." He wanted them really to trust in his anointing, to trust in his mighty hand, to trust in that he had already prepared the places for them to go into. David had learned to trust again in simple provisions in the Lord. When he was out there in the field and dealing with those sheep, he had learned to use those things that God had placed in nature. He had learned that God was faithful if he just submitted himself to him. Notice what David chooses in 1 Samuel 17:40 again. Then he took his staff in his hand. It was something that he was familiar with, that everyday thing. That staff was used to pull the sheep in, to protect them. It was also used to actually put his weight on when he got tired, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook. They had been there. Those stones were there. He had used them often, maybe to chase off other things, as he said early, and put them in the shepherd's bag and a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. I'm telling you, preparation for the call up until this point, everything that had happened in David's life is really climaxing to this point. The people are looking at him. The Philistines are looking at David. The Israelites are looking at David. His brothers are looking at David. But God has David. What can God use that you have right now? I'm talking about in simple provisions, right where you are in your life. What does God want to use that he's already given you? He's already prepared you with. I'm telling you, look at this, 1 Samuel 17:42. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Here's the point: fear of failure. Yes, fear of failure. We've actually been dealing with kind of a subtopic of fear throughout our lessons as we've been talking about this fulfilling our calling. Fear comes up so many times. You can't allow the enemy to make you afraid when you're deciding to walk out on faith. When you're saying, "Lord, use me for your service." You can't allow the enemy, because that's what he wants to do. He wants to put fear in our minds so that we won't do it, that we'll just stay in our lazy board chairs, that we will not venture out, that we will not take chances. But I'm telling you, as long as you're hearing the voice of the Lord, that still small voice in directing you, we've got to push down that fear. Isaiah 59:19 really gives us encouragement. "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him." We've got to know that when God is using us, when we're walking in the power of God, there's a standard. The enemy can only do as much as God allows. Somebody ought to shout out there. God also spoke to the Israelites in Isaiah 41:10. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." The enemy will demean us. He will bring up our past mistakes. He'll try to humiliate us. But that's why we've got to remember that God has prepared us for this moment, that God has already put everything in place. Look at 1 Samuel 17:45. "Then David said to the Philistine, 'You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Here's the point. I love this point. The battle is the Lord's. Yes, the battle is the Lord's. Now, this is so important. David actually puts forth a proclamation of faith. Man, he speaks things before they even happen. In that faith, that's the God faith, when we can start speaking stuff before it even happens. The songwriters Don Moing and Marty Nystrom and Tom Brooks actually got together in a collaborative effort, and they wanted to write a song that really encompassed God's power, that he was the one that controlled the battles. He was the one to give the victories. They wanted to be scriptural based, and they came came up with this. They said when the mighty men from the tribe of Judah faced the enemy, they were told by God not to be afraid. He would give the victory. He said, lift up a song and lay down the sword, for the battle is mine, says the Lord. Sing unto the Lord, make a joyful sound. Lift up your voices and let your praises resound. Sing a victory song in the time of war. Trust in Jesus. The battle is the Lord's. When the evil one comes against you to fill your heart with fear, you can trust in God. He will never leave you. He promised to be near. You can lift up a song in the midst of the war, for the battle is mine, says the Lord. I'm talking about preparation for the call. We can't forget this 1 Samuel 17:47, that in part, the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Don't you love it how David is being used at this point? You got to know that God does not need a whole bunch of elaborate things to show up and show out. You've got to realize he doesn't need a whole bunch of money. He just needs a man, a woman, a boy, a girl that submitted to his will, saying, use me for your service, and God will show up and show out. How will the Lord bring deliverance to many through you today? Yes, can you put in the chat today again? How is God going to use you today? I'm not talking about tomorrow. I'm not talking about tonight. I'm talking about right now, today. How does God want to use you? Look at these final scriptures as we pull them together. 1 Samuel 17:48. So it was, when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. Can you put in the chat one stone? Just put one stone. That's a powerful. That's what God can do. Just one stone. 1 Samuel 17:50. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of his sheath, and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Final point: walking in victory. Yes, walking victory. Saints of God, I want you to be encouraged, and I want you to know that God wants to give us so many victories. Yes, he wants us to walk in victory, no matter what your challenges is right now, no matter what the pain that you may be dealing with right now. No, that some of you have had tremendous loss in your life. I still give you this word that God wants you to walk in victory. Notice this, 1 Samuel 17:49, then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. I'm telling you, there ought to be someone say, won't God do it? Yes, he will. All it took again was that one stone and the powerful hand of the Lord. I believe that David could have just blew his breath and Goliath would have fell down, simply because with God all things are possible. David was a great man, and we could continue to talk about him. We could celebrate how God used him, but I want you to know David failed so many times. But let me tell you about a better David. You know his name, Jesus. He exemplified about being prepared for the call. Before entering into his powerful ministry for souls to be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth, he actually was led into the wilderness. There he was tested for a period of time, but he was being prepared for the call. Luke 4:1, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. There was a fasting period that the Father was preparing the Son. Luke 4:3, and the devil said to him, he was the Goliath of that time, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of of God. Do you see it? Jesus prepared for this season and this time and this moment, uses the word of God. Luke 4:6, and the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan. There ought to be someone say, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. I'm talking about preparation for the call. But look at Luke 4:9. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. I'm telling you, when I think about Jesus, even after this point, prepared for the call, that he went about and he taught like none other. He was able to multiply fish and bread, walk on water, do miracles, signs, and wonders. I am so glad that he didn't stop right there. Aren't you glad that he didn't deviate off the path? Aren't you glad that he didn't do what some of the disciples wanted him to do, is to get on a white horse and to ride in Jerusalem and take over the leadership of the time? But Jesus knew that he had an appointment with the cross called Calvary. He had to go into the Garden of Gethsemane and submit himself as he was prepared for the call to say, not my will, but let thy will be done. He was betrayed by Judas Iscariot, beaten all night long. They put a crossbar on his back as he goes down the Via Dolorosa. But there's one other person I want to bring out that was prepared for the call. I don't know how they got to this point, but all I know is that God had ordered their steps. In Luke 23:36, it said, as Jesus was being led away, some soldiers grabbed hold of a man from Cyrene named Simon. He was coming in from the fields, but they put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. I'm telling you, he was prepared for that moment. And we can say, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. We have being prepared for the call. That's why Jesus goes to the cross of Calvary, takes those nails in his hands and nails in his feet. He carries our sins and bears our griefs, dies on the cross of Calvary. But there ought to be some shouts of praise that I know the end of this story. They put him in a cold grave, but 3 days later, he gets up with all power and all glory. That should be such an encouragement for us, because we know, because he was prepared, because he got up with all power, and now he's seated on the right hand of the Father. He's praying for us that we can be prepared for the call that he has for us in our lives. But we've got to trust him. We've got to be ready to be used at that moment. We've got to realize that time is slowly, quickly for some, going away. And we have an appointment with the judgment seat of Christ. But I'm so glad for the blood of Jesus. Is anybody glad for the blood? Can you just put the blood in the chat? Simply because we can plead the blood of Jesus. We can say, you know what? I trust the Lord. He has saved me. He is doing the miracles, signs, and wonders. And all of us desire to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. I encourage you to be prepared to be used today. Yes, as God is fulfilling his calling in us, God has left you here for a reason. And everything that you've gone through, just like David, it was for that moment that he could be used of God. But please understand, even in David's life, he's going to be used even in a further way. In the same way with us, God wants to use us today. He wants to use us tomorrow. He wants to use us today after, until he calls us home. You are being prepared for God's call. I'm being prepared for God's call so that we can hear his voice and say, here I am, Lord, use me. If you don't know Christ today, that's your first step. This is the moment that I want you to embrace. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, said you will be saved. That's good news. a drowning man that's going down. He doesn't think about, you know what, I gotta say the right thing. He says, help. That's what this confession of faith is all about. God, I am a sinner. I got issues. I need your help. And guess what? I am a witness. He will save you. For the saints, I want to encourage you. I believe that this message has really encouraged somebody simply because you were going through. Some of you were ready to throw in the towel. I heard someone the other day, and they called me up and they were telling me about a loved one that just gave up at the prime time of their life because what they were going through seemed overwhelming at the time and just gave up on life. Saints, don't give up. God has more for you to do. And I would say again, today. Can you put in the chat, just put today. God wants to use you. Let's pray together. Father, I just thank you so much for this word. Thank you for giving us the life of David, Father God. But I thank you for the life that we have. Lord, I thank you, Father, for this day. This is the day that you have made. Help us to rejoice and be glad in it. I thank you for the souls that are being saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth. And I thank you for your saints being encouraged to want to be used today. Father, we ask you to fulfill your call in us. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tender snare. By thy return, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall mine petitions bear. To him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me see his face,